Those of you who took pictures.
Reason for rejoicing.
Reason for rejoicing. Thank you very kindly. There's somebody who takes pictures and notes, see? By the way, long ago, as a young man, a new believer in Christ, one of the things I learned, and you shared with me, is every time someone comes and preaches the Word of God, don't think about who is preaching. No, I don't like that guy. No, think God is speaking directly to me. God is speaking to me. And that really changed my life. So when, as you're here, yeah, I know I'm not the greatest. I know that. But God wants to speak to you today. And he's going to use a donkey. Okay? So that's all right. All right, the second point. Whitney knows.
What for God's people?
No, the major point. Very good. The root for rejoicing. The root. So we have the reason. What is the reason, if you recall? What is the reason for our rejoicing? Here we are in suffering. What's the reason we have for rejoicing? We're in suffering. Because you have held for you in glory. Salvation. Your salvation is sure in Christ. And that is a reason for rejoicing, even when you're suffering. And the root of that rejoicing, the root of that rejoicing, talked about that inner part that brings that rejoicing out. And that's the love of God's word, the love of God, the love of God's people, the love of God's word. So that was what we were looking at last time. So now we're going to go on, and I'm going to turn this thing on there with me.
All right. So let's go on. Looking at the root of today, we're going to be looking at. I'll skip through these. Who Peter is, and we note here Peter's writing this in AD 64. Or he's writing in AD 63. And AD 64 is when Nero starts bringing all kinds of persecution on the Jews. We all learn the story about Nero fiddling while Rome burned. Nero is bringing such persecution that he's throwing Christians to lions for just for entertainment. This is fun, watching lions eat up Christians. He's also burning Christians alive during his orgies. They love to hear the moaning of Christians in pain and suffering. This is the kind of thing going on during this time. And Peter is saying, rejoice. Yeah. I know when I was suffering, I remember suffering. Now my suffering is nothing like this. You know, my suffering was I was laid off at work and I was really struggling with that whole thing, trying to get a job months and months and months. I'm watching as the checking account is blank. Now we're seeing red in everything. And I'm just really struggling with that. And I come to church and I sit down and the song leader picks out one of those, we're so happy in Jesus, we're so happy in Jesus. And I got to get up and run from the room. You know, I know it's tough. And if someone came up to me and said, rejoice, I probably would have slapped them. You know, it's hard. So, but Peter understands. Remember Peter? Peter's the one who they took hold of. The Jews took hold of him, put him in prison, and then they flogged them. They flogged them. That means beat them with their fists. Beat them up. Take them out behind the building and beat them. And then Peter goes away rejoicing that they've had the privilege of suffering for Jesus. This is who's writing this letter. So he's got a right to say, rejoice. And he will eventually be taken and martyred, crucified upside down, I believe. So here's our outline. Take a picture. This is our outline, or ask me later. Last time we did the root of rejoicing. Today we're going to do the route of rejoicing. The root of rejoicing, love of God's holiness, love of God's people, God's word, God's Christ was what our theme was then. So today we're going to be looking at the route. The root is that inner starting point that you need to have this. You need to have that love of God's people, the love of God's word in order to be able to rejoice when you're suffering for Christ. Now, the route talks about how you get there. You know, everybody's familiar with Google Maps, right? Okay. You ask, how do I get there? And Google Maps shows you the route. This is what you need to do. You need to go here. You need to turn there. So this is the route. This is the application. You're going to see a lot of application in this text here. The route. How am I going to get, while I'm in the midst of suffering, how am I going to get to this rejoicing greatly? It's understanding the reason for rejoicing. It's all in Christ. It's all what you have in Christ. If you're not saved, you don't have a reason for rejoicing. You're probably not suffering for Christ either. But the reason is all about Christ. The root is that love of God's people, God's word, God himself, and God's Christ. And now we're going to talk about the root. We're going to look at subjection. Here's the root. There's your key word, subjection. Subjection to the land authority. Subjection to the life authority. Subjection to the home authority. Finally, subjection to all. So let's get started. Read with me, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against your soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing that, in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whatever, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves for God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters, as with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this very purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Continuing on, chapter 3. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husband. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who means to love life and see good days, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. All right, again, and I'm going to not working. I'm going to catch up with myself here on my notes. I've tried to use the computer to do it, and I'm a little slow with that, so. All right. So getting back, taking a look in detail now. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Aliens and strangers. You know, aliens and strangers don't have a lot of the rights, do they? They don't have a lot of the privileges, do they? See, we're Americans. Most of us are Americans, right? And so we have rights, we have privileges, and we always want to stomp and say, hey, I got my rights, I got my rights. And Peter's here saying, Skip, it's not about rights. It's not about rights. You're an alien and a stranger. It's a tough walk being a Christian American. It is a tough walk. You have a vote. You have a vote. Vote. Vote responsibly. Vote as if the Lord God was directing your hand to vote. You have one vote. You have no control over the outcome of the vote. You know, God has control over the outcome of the vote. But I do have responsibility in my vote. That however I vote, I want God to be pleased with that vote. And I'll accept how it works out in God's eyes. Remember, the nation of Israel needed to be taken into Babylon. And the United States may need to go through tremendous trouble. Aliens and strangers, abstain from fleshly lust. The whole world is doing it. The whole world is doing it. You're in school, you're seeing it all the time. You're at work, you're seeing it all the time. The world is doing it. And they're saying, come along, join us, join us. I'm a Christian. My response has to be, that's not for me. That's not for me. You know, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to bang you on the head with the Bible. But I have a Holy Father who tells me, that is not for you, Skip. And it takes courage. When you're in school, I know what's going on in the schools today. If you're in school and you say no to this, you're going to be ridiculed like crazy. And it's a tough individual who can stand up to that. They wage war. War isn't a pretty thing. He doesn't use, they fight, they contend, they stress against. No, they're war. Your fleshly lust is at war against your soul, if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you don't understand this stuff. But there's a war going on. And who's winning the battle? Abstain from these fleshly lusts. Speaking to me, abstain from these fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior, your conversation, I think the King James says, keep your behavior, how you behave, how you interact, keep it excellent among the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles here, Peter's a Jew. He's not talking about non-Jews. He's talking about the world. That word there just means the nations. It just means the people. I go out into the world every day. I'm in the neighborhood. I'm at work, whatever I do. Keep your behavior excellent. Reminds me when I was working at Bechtel, I pride my lunchtime. I really do. So it's lunchtime. Everyone else goes out to work. I'm sitting at my desk eating my lunch. And three desks behind me, I work in a fishbowl. You know what a fishbowl is. Three desks behind me, phone starts ringing. And it rings and 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 rings. Finally, I get up and I walk over there and I answer the phone. Hello, this is Skip Denny. Yeah, is Jimmy there? No, Jimmy's at lunch. Okay, thank you. I was fuming. I took that phone and I just slammed it down. And I turned around, and there was young Park at the desk in front of me. You know, I'm human. I make mistakes. I had to apologize. He understood. No. Keep your behavior excellent. And you don't know who's watching you. But believe me, if you're a Christian, they're watching you. They're watching you. I get on the phone, talk with people at work, and on the other side of the phone, a word slips out. Oh, excuse my French. Excuse me. I understand because I'm on the phone. They never hear that from me, and that they notice. I remember going golfing with some people, and a man and his wife, and by the end of the 18th hole, I have to call him over and say, "Excuse me, are you two Christians?" A big beaming smile on their face. See, I could tell the way you treat your wife. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing that they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. The day of visitation just means when God focuses and listens and sees. And so as God looks at them, their answer is, well, this I know. You know, I never see Skip cuss. I never see Skip doing bad things. He's always graceful. I pray that though they only see Christ in me. That's what I need to be doing. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institute. This is hard. This is hard for me. Right now, it's very hard for me. Submit yourself to every human institution, whether to a king or to one in authority or to governors as sent by him. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Who is the governing authority in the United States of America? You can answer. Throw something at you. Who's the authority? This is a government of what? Of the people, by the people, for the people. Who are the people who run this country? Who's the individual? No, you, me. At least that's the way it's supposed to. Do you understand that you have a federal government that hates that? So now I gotta come on my knees to God and say, Lord, help me with this one. You know, and he says, like Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, Skip. Like Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar. Who's the one speaking this letter? Who's the one teaching this letter? It's Peter. Peter's the one where they said, do not go out and preach in that name. And what was Peter's response? Whether to do what God says or what man says. You answer me. That's Peter. And Peter's the one saying, submit to the governors as sent by him. That's who the president is. He's a governor sent by the people, right? Submit. Such is the will of God that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. We got a lot of foolish men in this world. How do you silence them? Not by tweeting. By doing right. By doing right. Act as free men. Hey, you're free in Christ. But don't use your freedom as a covering. Now, as a free man, I welcome being a bond slave to God. That means pierce my ear, Lord. Pierce my ear, Lord. You own me. And I don't mean pierce so I can wear an earring. Honor all people. Honor all people. That means the homosexual that lives around the corner. That means the transvestite over here. That means the man who thinks he's a woman over here. Honor all people. Okay, Lord. Honor them. Love the brotherhood. That's you. That's me. Talk about hard. Loving me. Fear God. And honor the King. Now we go into the second set, looking at life rulers, life authority. That was land authorities, life authorities. Servants, be subject to your masters. Here we're, slavery is a different thing back then, but here we're talking about someone, a master who runs your life for you, who tells you what to do. That's employers today, right? They at least think they run your life. Submissive to them. Tell me something. What's the difference? Notice, I'm going to slip back. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Now flip forward. Servants, be submissive. What's the difference between those two? This is what I do. This is what I do. It's an act. It's a verb. It's an action. Submit. Okay? That means when I go into the post office, what do I have to do? I got to get put that foolish little Democrat sign of authority on my mount. Submit yourself. But this, be submissive. What's that? Come on, kids. That's an adjective. That's my attitude. The first one was my actions. This is my attitude. My attitude at work needs to be one of submission. Not always that way. Be submissive to your masters. With all respect, not only to those who are good and Gentile, I'm fortunate I've got a very good master right now, but also those who are unreasonable. Boy, I know what that's like. And you hate going to work. For this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. I've been there at work, suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin, you are harshly treated and endure it with patience? But when you do what is right and suffer for it and patiently endure, this finds favor with God. Think of Noah. Finds favor with God. But Noah found favor with God. Think of Lot, righteous Lot, 2 Peter tells us. For you have been called for this very purpose. I want you to remember that. You have been called for this very purpose. Where are you? There you are. Oops, where are you? Oh my. First Peter 20, huh? I must have skipped back. Sorry about that. There. You've been called for this very purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Now, we've just had breaking of bread. Breaking of bread, we remember that Jesus died for my sins. Jesus paid for my sins. But what we're looking at now is Jesus, the man of God, who was crucified because the world would not receive him. The world would reject him. The Jews would reject him. And that's Jesus. And he leaves me an example. Think back to the very first example. The ladies' precepts will remember this. Very first example. When one who did right was killed by one who did wrong, right? Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. That's the story. Jesus is our Abel. And the world is Cain. He leaves an example for you. See, it's always been that way. It's always been that way in this world. That since Cain and Abel, that those who are gods are persecuted by those who are the devils. Today, if you are not gods, understand this, you're the devils. Jesus said this way, he who is not with me is against me. Well, I'm not against Jesus. No, you didn't hear him. Listen, he who is not with me is against me. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, this is the example, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. This is one that I have to constantly remember. Jesus allowed the suffering, allowed them to beat him, to pull out his beard, to spit on him, to crucify him, to wag the tongue at him, all this. He did no wrong, but he's willing because he was leaving righteous judgment to God. And you and I need to do that too. You and I need to do that when we suffer unrighteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. This is a gospel outline point. I meant to throw up a version of the gospel outline. If you're not familiar with the gospel outline has five major points. Offer made, offer needed, offer just, offer accepted, offer rejected. That's how I remember it. Offer is needed, offer is made, offer is needed, offer is just, offer accepted, offer rejected. Okay. And each one of those has three minor points. I won't get into them. Each one of them has three minor points and every point, minor point has two verses with it. An Old Testament and a New Testament verse. So you memorize the verses and you go through that gospel outline with someone, leading them into their need for Christ. It starts with who is God? Genesis chapter 1. Who is man? Genesis chapter 2. Problem of sin. Genesis chapter 3. The need for reconciliation. Genesis chapter 4. You see it? He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. If you're a Christian, this is an excellent verse to memorize. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. Notice this, continually straying. That was my life. Not a one-time stray. It's a constant, continual straying, 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 straying. Praise the Lord. Now you have returned. Have returned to the guardian and shepherd. I still wander around a little bit. He finds me out there in the darkness, in the muck and mire. And he takes that crook, you know, the crook, the one that's, you know, little Bo Peep's crook, wraps that around my neck, back here. Praise God for that. Praise God for that crook. His thy staff, rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the same way, you wife. Now we're going to get into the life inside the family. Inside the family. In the same way, you wives. Remember this phrase, in the same way. What does that in the same way mean? Just as Jesus suffered. Just as Jesus suffered unrighteously. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. There's that be submissive again. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. Be submissive to your own husbands so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word. Underline that. Without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be, must not be just external. That merely, by the way, is I've ghosted that because it's not in the text. Of course you're expected to wear clothes. But the focus, how many of our wives, we spend, 40, 45 minutes dressing things up here. The important thing is not what you're wearing outside, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Think on this for a minute. If we held a beauty contest here at Wilmington Bible Chapel, and the quality of beauty was a gentle and quiet spirit, who would you cast a vote for? Women, do you see this quality as beautiful and precious? A gentle and quiet spirit. That's not what the world wants. The world wants our women to think just the opposite. But this is what's precious to God. A gentle, quiet spirit. I remember bringing our kids to the youth rally once here at Wilmington Bible Chapel, the youth rally. And my kids were young. Stephen and Hannah were here. And I remember there was a family come. Was it the Fletchers? Something like that. They had 11 kids. 11 kids. And I remember the girls. They were the picture of this quiet, gentle spirit. They were dressed very modestly, long dresses, buttoned up tight, very quiet. And I remember watching as the girls that came, that had the short skirts on, and the blouses that went down about to their belly button, got all the attention from the boys. All the attention. Not a single boy paid any attention to those girls. And I wanted to wrap my son upside the head. Are you seeing this? What is beautiful? What is truly beautiful? It's hard in this world today. It's hard in this world today to our young girls. Do you understand? You do not want one of those guys who are going to be dazzled by the short dress. You want someone who's going to see the beautiful, gentle, quiet spirit within you. And you may have a hard time finding such a guy. Believe me. Praise the Lord. I remember my daughter. She dressed so modestly, so quietly. Men, your young boys, is this what you see as precious? A gentle, quiet spirit. For in this way, in former times, holy women, that is set apart women, women who were set apart for God, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves being submissive to their own husband. And Peter brings up his great, 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 great grandmother, Sarah. Just as Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. That fear is that terror. It's not the trembling, it's that terror. It's that uncontrolled, frantic excitement that your husband should be able to quiet, should be able to bring to you. If you do what is right without being frightened. So Sarah called Abraham Lord. Did you catch that one? Genesis 18:12. Just write it down. Go back and look at it. She calls him Lord. Can't finish without going here. You husbands in the same way. Now this one speaks to my heart for obvious reasons. You husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. Now, if you come to my house, I got a pot in my house that if I dropped it, it would break my foot before it shattered. This is a heavy pot with plants in it. It's a heavy pot. Okay. But then we have very delicate china. Very delicate. You want to handle that china carefully. See, this is what's going on. It's not that she is a weaker vessel, but treat her as the weaker vessel, as a precious vessel. Husbands, in the same way as what? In the same way as Jesus suffering. In the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. Now, I gotta take a little caveat here. We might go a little over, but I won't take it too long, but this is important for the world today. Understand, we got this male-female nonsense going on here. I hope everyone here understands. Male-female is just for this creation. In the end state, you will not be male and female. Okay. So if you wanted to be in a play, let's say we're doing a Christmas play, you want to be in the play. Okay. Yeah, I want to be in the play. I want to be in the play. Okay. Okay. I want Daniel. I want you to be Joseph. Okay. And Lauren, I want you to be a shepherd. You know. Okay. And Lauren comes up and says, I don't want to be a shepherd. Okay. Wait a minute. Who's the casting director here? See? I don't want to be a shepherd. I don't want to be Joseph. Okay. You be whatever you want someone else's play. Jason, you're going to be Joseph. Yeah. You understand? If you tried that with Hollywood, you tried to play this game. I don't want to be him. I want to be this one. Yeah, okay. Go somewhere else. God is the one who said, I want you to be a woman. Glorify God in that. I want you to be a man for me. Glorify God. You see, the woman is a picture of the church. The woman is a picture of the needy one. That's why you're created a weaker vessel. You know, we have a table at our house. I'm going to need four guys to lift this thing. This thing is humongous. It's about 1,000 pounds. I'm going to need big, hefty guys. I tried to get Karen to help me. No way. You know, understand. You know, there's a reason for this. You're a picture of Christ. Or you're a picture of the church. I'm supposed to be a picture of Christ. Now understand this also. Understand this. For all you women, be submissive to your husband. You know, one of the things that terrifies me, I'm a sinner. I make bad choices. And she's supposed to be trusting in me. And I make bad choices. Lord, help me. Now, what she does is she submits herself and trusts herself in me and trusts that the Lord will direct me. And sometimes I need correction. Sometimes I need correction. She trusts in that. That's what it means. For you white women who find it difficult, sometimes you have an unruly. That's what this is about. A man who's unruly. How do I submit to him? You submit to him as unto the Lord. Okay? I remember asking as a young man, hey, Lord, when a marriage isn't working right, when a marriage isn't working right, okay, whose responsibility is it to be the first one to move? Whose responsibility? The woman isn't being submissive. The man isn't loving his wife as Christ loved the church. Okay, whose job is it? And the Lord said to me, Skip, who moved first, the church or Christ? Well, Jesus did. Okay, Skip, you make the first move. Now, that was before I was married, of course. Now I understand, if I were a woman, he'd have said, you make the first move. So understand. If your marriage is having issues, if your marriage is having problems, you be the first one to move. because God has pointed to you. Trust me, believe me, remarkable things would happen if a woman, quiet, submissive to her husband. A man will notice that. A man will cherish that. And a man who sees a woman, trust him. Trust him. To sum up, let all be a harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit. Okay, harmonious I like. Harmonious I like. All of us who play music, I can't call myself a musician. Harmonious. It doesn't mean all of us are playing the same part, does it? I love hearing Mary sing that alto part. Mary, and remember, what was her name? Wendy Sorrell. Yeah, Wendy Sorrell. Beautiful voice. Love that. You know, but she doesn't sing the melody, she sings the harmony. You know? That's what harmony means. We're not all playing the same part, but we're all working together. Okay? Sympathetic. Nobody uses that word with my name attached to it. I'm sorry. I need to work on sympathetic, brotherly, kind, humble in spirit. That's another one I need work on. Not returning evil for evil. Boy, as a man, that's what I want to do. As a man, and Jesus is the picture of the perfect man. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. What's the best blessing you can give anyone? The gospel. The gospel. I got to get that in there. The gospel. Giving them the gospel is the best blessing you can give anyone. Those who curse you, give a blessing. For you were called for this very purpose. You notice I undersigned that. Did you notice? Wait a minute. I was called for this very purpose. I go back here and I was called for a different purpose here. Where was it? For suffering. There it is. 21. For you have been called for this purpose, for suffering. And now we're talking about called for another purpose, that is to receive a blessing, to inherit a blessing. Okay. You don't inherit the blessing till after the suffering. Just like Jesus. Jesus was glorified, but he said to the disciples on the road, wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer and then enter into his glory? Okay. So you expect to go and receive this blessing without. There it is. No. You were called for this to receive a blessing. That blessing is in glory. Right now, it's in suffering. Okay. For the one who desires, I won't read it because of time, but this is the Old Testament. This is an Old Testament. It's talking about, keep my tongue from evil, my lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Wait a minute. That's law, right? Isn't that law? The text is true. Even to those who are saved by grace, the text is still true. If you desire to live life and law and love the idea of good days, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. And seek peace and pursue it. Pursue it. That means run after it. It means chase after it. It means go out of your way. Don't just sit in your lounge chair. You got struggle with someone? You maybe need to get up out of your chair and go seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer. But his face is against those who do evil. That's even for a Christian. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, no. But it means the Lord is displeased. I have a son. I love my son very much. When he does something bad, I'm not pleased. I'm not pleased with him. And I have to let him know that. Okay? But it doesn't change the relationship. All right. So next time, we're going to look at the response for rejoicing. That's going to get to some interesting text. So be sure you come in November. To do this. Let's close. I need to also show attitudes and actions. I want to try and do that after everything. Things I need to work on. Things I need changing from this text. Let's close in a word of prayer. And thank you for your patience. Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for your word. Lord, a lot of text here to understand, a lot of things I need changing in my life, Lord. I do pray that your Spirit would remind me of these things and work and develop these things in me, Lord, that I might honor and glorify you. We do pray, if there be any among us here who don't know you as a Savior, don't understand these things, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to them, their need to be right with you, to find that security found in you. Lord, we thank you now for this time. Pray that you bless us now in Jesus' name.